Good morning and welcome to Sonoma County Focus. My name is Michelle Marquis, and on the line with me is author Therese Crutcher Marin. She is the chair for the Huntington's Disease Society of America, San Francisco Bay Area affiliate. Good morning. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning.
So let's start off our conversation about Huntington's disease in particular. What is it?
Huntington's disease is a rare, fatal, genetic brain disorder that has all the symptoms of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, and ALS at the same time. Wow. It usually strikes between the ages of 30 and 50. There is juvenile Huntington's disease. Symptoms are depression, personality changes, unsteady gait, involuntary movements. And if a child who has a parent that has Huntington's disease, they have a 50-50 chance of inheriting the disease. And there is no cure or therapy for it now. There's about 41,000 people in the United States that have the disease and about 200 to 250,000 that live at risk, which is what my husband's family, they were at risk because their mother had Huntington's disease.
And you've written a book about this called Watching Their Dance, Three Sisters, a Genetic Disease, and Marrying into a Family at Risk of Huntington's Disease. Tell us about your story and how you became involved.
Well, my three sister-in-laws, unfortunately, had Huntington's disease, and we took care of them. I'm a retired hospice professional, and my mother-in-law, who I never met, had Huntington's, and she was put in Napa State Mental Hospital in the 50s because they didn't know what was wrong with her. But she had Huntington's, and my husband's father never told them what their mother had. And so my husband and I were college sweethearts, and I kept asking his sisters, who were my dear friends, three sisters, what was your mother doing in Napa State Hospital? And they didn't know. So they reached out to an aunt that they hadn't had any contact with, and they found out that they had Huntington's disease in their family. And so after my third sister-in-law, Cindy, passed away, I decided that the best way that I could help with awareness of Huntington's disease is to write our story. So it's my husband and it's our love story while living in the shadow of HD. And I wrote it also to honor my three friends, my three sister-in-laws. I traveled around the country. We have an RV and we did a book tour, and we are giving 100% of the proceeds to the Huntington's Disease Society of America. And so far we've given $16,000.
Wow.
And it's, you know, when people buy it, I say, you know, if you like it, you know, give it to someone who doesn't know anything about Huntington's disease. Mm-hmm. It's just a way to heighten the awareness of the disease. And HDSA, I have been involved with since like 1978 when we first found out about the disease. And they've always been my nonprofit that kept me informed of what was going on in the research world. I became involved with the San Francisco affiliate about 4 years ago. And our affiliate is new to the San Francisco Bay Area. And, you know, that's one of our goals, is to heighten awareness.
Right,
of course. So my book can be found on Amazon, or I have an author website, which is my name, Therese Crutcher Marin.com. But, you know, it is tragic, but tragedy does keep people turning the pages. But it is a love story, and how this uncertainty in our lives just really fortified my marriage, because I knew that things could change overnight, because John was 50, he had a 50-50 chance of having it. His three sisters had it.
Yeah.
And so it's an inspirational story, really, because we lived through it. It created a bond so close that it could never be broken. And we were blessed that John tested negative a few years ago. And so our children do not run the risk of having Huntington's disease,
wow,
or living at risk.
Oh my goodness. That must be such a relief for both of you to know that. Was he interested in taking a test and knowing when you initially met him and learned of what was happening in their family?
Well, there was no test when we first were together and first married. In 1993, a blood test came out that you could have done, and it will tell you if you have the mutated Huntington gene that creates Huntington's disease. And when it came out, I was like really excited because I'm a real need to know person. You know, I like to plan and I, you know, I need to know where I'm going. But John's like, I don't want to know.
Oh, wow.
You know, I want to live with the hope that I don't have this. And we were already struggling with two sisters that had HD and taking care of them. But a few years ago, our two children got engaged to be married. And that's when John said, you know, I owe it to my children to know my gene status so they can live their lives, you know, the way they want to. But like I said, we are so grateful that he tested negative, and we are blessed in so many ways. And my sister-in-law's had no children, so it really stops Huntington's disease in our family, though he does have cousins that have HD.
Okay. And though it was a personal decision for him not to be tested, was it difficult for you to be living with that uncertainty?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was so difficult. And when we first found out about HD, before we were even married, I struggled with whether I could live with this huge uncertainty in my life. And I was really scared. And I just didn't know if I could do it. I had both sets of my grandparents were still alive. I had never known anybody that died, or let alone have, you know, a genetic disease that has no cure. That's very rare. So actually, I broke off our engagement.
Oh, my.
I was so afraid. I just didn't think I was brave enough to do this. But I had an epiphany, and that's kind of, you know, the story of in my book, that, and John kept saying to me, Therese, we just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I could walk across the street and get killed. So we need to just grab hold to our happiness. And so after this epiphany, I found my way back to him, and he was waiting for me. Aww. With open arms. And I still get goosebumps. And, you know, I mean, I loved the man, and the love really got us through all of this. But I was, I had a very difficult time. But I'm a healthcare professional. Mm-hmm. I have a master's in healthcare administration, and I started working in hospice. And you know what? Working with the dying gave me peace. If you can believe that.
No, I totally can. Hospice is an amazing thing. And it's tough for us in this culture because we really don't understand death that well and don't deal with it very well. And hospice is a beautiful way to be there when someone's life is ending. And I'm sure that peace that you had working with hospice patients, working with hospice caregivers, must have given you a lot of insight into your own family and your own situation.
Yes, and the theme of my book and really the tools that I used to help me live with this uncertainty was mindfulness, where I focused on today. Mm-hmm. You know, I tried not to think about the future. You know, we just enjoyed each other and our children. And also I clung to hope and clung to John. And then I brought in forgiveness into my life and unconditional love, because life is just like so short that, you know, to forgive is, you know, really the way to continue your life so you don't lose people in your lives. But mindfulness was very, very key for me.
Yeah, so much so. And then this book, when did you write this book?
Well, it took me 7 years to write because it was an emotional journey for me. And I really started writing it because I was looking for a way to heal through all the losses that we had had. And my sister-in-law's, two of them lived 17 years with Huntington's disease because it's a very long, progressive disease that steals everything from you. And so I was stuck in this complicated grief after my sister-in-law's died. And I knew through hospice and working with social workers that, you know, writing your story can be a healing process.
Oh, for sure.
And before I wrote my book, I couldn't talk about my sister-in-laws. I was just, you know, I would cry. So it took me 7 years because there were times when I was writing that I would be crying and John would come in and say, you know, just put it away, Therese. We're going to go for a walk or whatever. So, but it really did lead me to a healing place. And then I was able to start talking about and be more involved with, you know, Huntington's disease. But, you know, first time author too, it was a learning process. It was a huge learning curve, but, I had a great editor and she taught me a lot and I am writing two more books now, not about Huntington's disease, historical fiction novels I'm writing.
Oh, good for
now.
You. That's excellent. And, Huntington's disease also has impacted people that we, probably all have heard of, like Woody Guthrie. And you won the 2019 HDSA Woody Guthrie Advocacy Award. Tell me about that.
Well, it was a surprise. HDSA has a convention every year and, you know, in some big city, though this year it was all virtual.
Right.
But they give out a Woody Guthrie Advocacy Award to people who are promoting, you know, HD and actively taking part in things like my two daughters, they ran in the New York City Marathon on the HDSA team and raised $8,000. And then I've become a spokesman for HD pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, send me questions and on my Facebook page and email. And I think my book, you know, too, was there is no book written like my book,
right?
You know, about what it's like to live at risk with Huntington's disease. So I was doing a lot of promotion. I'm a social media guru. I have many platforms. I'm a blogger on my author website. My goal is to get the resources out there to people, HD people, so they don't feel alone.
Right.
And I've been doing that for many, many years. And so HDSA just wanted to acknowledge the work that I had done. And then I started the affiliate, the San Francisco Bay Area affiliate. I started that also.
Wow.
And San Francisco really needed to have an affiliate. And we are a chapter in training. We will become a chapter.
Okay. All right. How can people get involved? How can people help with the HDSA here in the Bay Area?
Well, we are looking for volunteers. Our affiliate and chapters across the United States, HDSA is 90% volunteer-based. So there's 55 chapters and affiliate across the United States, and it's all run by volunteers. And so we are constantly recruiting people to be on our affiliate that will become a board next year to help us with outreach projects, fundraisers, galas, beer events. We're always looking for people that can give their time to help us with projects that we have. It's been a little difficult this year with the COVID-19.
Right, yeah.
But
put everybody on hold.
We have monthly Zoom meetings.
Okay.
and we're still, you know, promoting events and raising money because it's so important because HDSA funds Huntington's disease clinics across the United States.
Mm.
There's 50 centers of excellences that they fund that are for people, you know, it's an interdisciplinary team that helps HD families.
That's amazing.
So,
When you are talking about finding people to join the board, what's the best way for people to reach out to you?
You can go onto hdsa.org and there's you can click on how to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll send you to the San Francisco Bay Area affiliate.
Okay.
And I'll get an email.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, people don't have to have Huntington's disease in their families to volunteer. And we're always looking for folks that are looking for maybe a small nonprofit. You know, we're very small because it's such a rare disease. So it's nice sometimes to have someone that doesn't have the disease, because many times volunteers who do have it in their family, things change and they can't volunteer anymore. Right, right. And, you know, because they're taking care of a loved one, you know, or they're at risk and it's just very emotionally difficult. Right. For them.
Yeah. And having advocates outside of that arena too must also be heartening, as people understand what it is and, for instance, read your story mm-hmm. and know how it impacts families. So I know that you can't do any events per se, but are there any virtual events or anything like that that you've got going on this year?
Well, yes, we are having a virtual Team Hope Walk. It's the San Francisco 14th annual, and it is virtual.
Okay.
This year, it's on October 3rd. And once again, people can go on to hdsa.org and find it under our affiliate. But that's been going on for 14 years, and we usually make like $80,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, you know, during this time, virtual aren't making as much, but all of it helps.
Of course,
Everything
any bit.
Helps.
Right, right. And in terms of the research that's being done, are there any treatments for Huntington's disease that are proving effective? What are the different kinds of developments in that arena?
Well, there, you know, there is chorea with Huntington's, which is involuntary movements that really impact a person's life and their activities of daily living, because when you have these involuntary movements going on, you can't brush your teeth. You can't, right. You know, you can't fix a meal. And there is two drugs out there now. Austedo is one that calms the chorea down, which is really a godsend, because my one sister-in-law, Marcia, she had chorea so bad, she would bounce out of the bed, you know, and it's just so hard to live. People think that, people with HD are drunk when they see them, because their gait is very awkward. Yeah. And then they have these movements going on. They fall, they have slurred speeches. And so those drugs are very helpful with chorea. But the HD community is so hopeful right now, because there are many promising clinical trials that are going on around the world. And there are many of them that are in phase 3 for a clinical trial. So if the drug works, you know, in the next 5 years, there might be, you know, a therapy to stop there's a protein that gets made in the brain, and it overproduces and it kills the brain cells. And that's what causes the disease. And the drugs that are being tested right now, they stop that production of the protein.
Wow.
And stop the progression of the disease. And they put it, it goes in through a spinal tap into the brain. And at the moment, I think they have to have they're doing it like every couple months.
Okay.
Because they're still in clinical trials. Then there's also another procedure that's going on at UCSF right now, and it's a one-time dose into the brain. They bore a hole in the brain in the right area that Huntington's is affected, and they put the drug into the brain.
Wow.
It's a one-time dose. Now, that just started in the third clinical trial, and it will go on for 5 years.
Wow, that's got to be heartening to see that there is so much progress being made, and fingers crossed that that some of these therapies are going to be effective. Because this is a genetic disease, is there any sort of gene therapy or any way to isolate where this is coming from and see if you know, there's ways to get it out of the body?
Well, I'm not a clinical, you know, scientific person, but CRISPR are, you know, they're working with that, where they go in and cut out the mutated gene, you know, and replace it with a healthy piece. And like I said, I'm not real clear on that, but
sure.
There's ethical issues, you know, going on with that.
Oh, okay.
From what I understand.
Got it.
Because you're changing the DNA.
Right. Right. Exactly. Well, as you have firsthand experience, this is a tough disease for families to live with, but it's inspiring to see that your book is so hopeful and has such a great message in it. Where can people find your book?
It's on Amazon. It's and it's available on Kindle. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's on just about any book website. You know, it's available in Europe on Amazon. Mm-hmm. On my website, I do sell the book. Most people buy it on Amazon, really, to tell you the truth. And all the royalties that I receive go to HDSA.
And how much have you been able to raise so far?
$16,000.
Wow. Congratulations. That's great. Yes.
Well, you know, for a first-time author, I'm very happy with it. It will continue. I still promote it. I've updated the book because in 2017 was just, this is when the explosion happened of drugs that look like they could really help HD. And so I updated my book, the Huntington's Disease page, to let people know, you know, what clinical trials are going on out there. And I did get 4 very good reviews on my book. One is from Kirkus, which is a longstanding magazine in New York that gives reviews on books, and I got an excellent one from them. Their one quote is, "This is a rare treat, a true story that is as uplifting as it is heartbreaking, a poignant remembrance of a love forged in crisis."
Wow.
And then I got a Goodreads, very good review, and a Book Life. And so I'm really happy with those. It just validates, you know, that it's a good story and that I can produce a book, which was, you know, something I never knew I could do.
That's amazing.
To write.
Good for you. Congratulations for following through on that and for persevering for 7 years. My goodness. That can be probably disheartening at times thinking, I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish this, but good for you for keeping up with it.
Yeah. When I'm on a project, I'm not going to not finish it.
good. All right. Well, we're just about out of time. Are there other things that you would like to share with the audience before we go?
Just if you're looking for a small nonprofit that really can use donations, you know, please go to hdsa.org.
Okay.
And HDSA's mission is to improve the lives of everyone affected by Huntington's disease. And our vision is a world without Huntington's disease.
Excellent. I've been talking with the author, Therese Krecher-Marin. Her first name is spelled T-H-E-R-E-S-E, Therese Krecher-Marin. You can find her online at therese.krecher.marin.com, and her book is called Watching Their Dance, Three Sisters, a Genetic Disease, and Marrying into a Family at Risk for Huntington's Disease. The book can be found online, really anywhere you buy books, Amazon. You can also pick them up on Therese's website itself, which is, again, therese.krecher.marin.com. It was so nice to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. I so enjoyed it.
I'm Michelle Marquis, and this is Sonoma County Focus.